This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Oh boy, it is gonna be a good one. Strap yourselves in, it's time to go.
When you are a fat man and you try and do a fitness podcast, but you injure your old fat self and can no longer do the physical crap needed, you go back to your one true and authentic self. A giant asshole that has a quick fuse and rants about everything. You start being fat, angry Stretch.
Hey.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Stretch Show podcast.
Oh, fat and angry is my specialty today. I am fired up. You've got a very unique situation going on the pod today. Let me set it up for you. I am sitting here at my desk at home doing the pod. It is 3:30 in the afternoon on a Thursday. I don't get off of work until 5. I have my gun not only, it's not in the holster, my gun sitting on my desk, cocked, loaded, one in the chamber. I have my all my gear on. I have my handcuffs. I have my pepper spray. I have my taser gun. And I have my baton all on my belt. I'm sitting here fully ready for war. And here is why. Man, I'm mad right now. So at about 2:20 today, I get a call from my daughter, who's upset. And my daughter works from home. And then one day a week, she has to go to work. Today was her day to go to work. And she calls me and says, there's a homeless guy in the driveway. He came here this morning. He set up. He's been screaming and attacking people in our driveway all day. And I'm like, did you call the police? She said, yeah, they're on the way. I called 911. And I'm like, what do you mean? This guy was flipping out, trashing the front of our building and the next door apartment building, attacking people walking down the sidewalk. And it's been going on for hours and hours. And finally, my daughter looked out and he was doing drugs in our driveway. She says he has a fanny pack filled with drugs, which is needles, hypodermic needles. He's shooting up. So I'm like, call 911, tell them he's attacking people. If he's violent, they'll come. And isn't fucking shit that has to be the situation for the police to come? And remember, I'm on the same street as the police station. Don't get me started. So I said, I'm on my way. And I called work and said, I need relief. I have to go home. And I jumped in my car and hauled ass. Now, my daughter called me on my en route and said that she had, you know, she, and I watched her. I turned on the security camera. I watched her go to her car. She said she looked out the windows. He's nowhere in sight. She'd already called 911. The police were on the way. She had to get to work. She was now 45 minutes late leaving to work, which means she was late to work because she should have been there. And she got out the door. She got into her car. The guy had stabbed the bumper of her car, stabbed a hole all the way through the bumper of her car. Remember, bumpers are plastic now. And then en route, 911 called her back and said, hey, we're at your property and there's no one here, blah, blah. So, of course, they left. And then my daughter's like, I already left. My you know, I'm on my way to work. And I have scoured this neighborhood looking for this dude. I took all of his stuff, threw it in the trash that he had left in our driveway. And while I was out there, a neighbor from the next door neighbor apartment building, remember, at this point, I still have on a shirt and tie on top of all of the weaponry on my belt. And a neighbor comes over and is like, oh, thank God you're here. There's a guy who's been out here all day attacking people. And I'm like, this is fucking nuts. This is nuts. This can't happen. This cannot happen. This is Los Angeles. We deserve better. We pay higher taxes. We need protection. It took me about 40 minutes to get here today. And that was urgently and swerving and speeding and doing everything I could to get here because I still had some traffic coming home at that hour. And the police were here in the time. The guy hasn't come back. The cops didn't get him. And I promise you they didn't look. They're overworked. Remember the defund the police people? Let's get rid of those damn cops. Well, now we don't have enough. And the ones we have are making a fortune because they're working so much overtime. Drinking my tea. Anyhow, that is going on right now, and hopefully he doesn't come back, but now I'm on guard because my wife's got to come home, my daughter's got to come home. There was also, I just had to go outside with a hose. The guy had like a yellow powder strewn all over the sidewalk, and then he'd thrown it over the fence into the yard of the apartment on the side. It literally looked like he was shooting a fire extinguisher is what it looked like. It looked like fire extinguishers blast that powder. And it was all over the sidewalk in front of the building and even on our side of the fence because we have a fence around the apartment. So I don't know what's going on, but something has to change. You know what's crazy? If I went out there and like shot the dude, which totally would be fine doing, they would arrest me and I'd be in jail and I'd be the big bad guy. Be like brutal, awful white devil shoots innocent homeless man who's just having an issue because he's out of drugs. It's like, I don't know. So anyway, if this guy comes back at any point in the next 24 hours, it's going to be, I can promise you this, I'm not going to shoot him because I'm not going to have to shoot him, but it's going to be extremely violent. There's going to be extreme violence at my apartment if that guy comes back, and I won't shoot him. And I know he has a knife, so I could use deadly force at this point. If I know he has a knife because he stabbed the car. So, there's weapon on him. Ah, fun times. Anyway, I'm really worked up. I'm really angry right now. But what's funny is the pod today, I was going to do a very special pod. And this just ties right into it. And because since I did the last podcast on Sunday night, we really got the news out of the Rob Reiner murder. And I by no means knew Rob Reiner, and I can tell you right now, if you've seen the news stories, he was murdered brutally by his son, who was an addict who had been to rehab 18 times. And I can tell you, I never worked at a rehab while that kid was there, so I'm not speaking out of line or talking about a client. And I have a lot of celebrity kids under the 6 years I spent in rehab. So I wanted to just talk about it. I want to do a breakdown of that because it's so sad. It's such a terrible story, such an awful story. My heart goes out to that family. And I've seen both sides of that situation with addiction and being a family member to it. We have it in my family. And you guys, if you're new to the pod, you don't know. But if you're an old school pod, you do know. My oldest brother is dead from addiction, and he's only my half brother, and he lived in Alabama and we lived here, and I have very recently lost a cousin to addiction back in Alabama, and I have lost in the time of where my brother died, I have lost about four of my cousins to addiction, to overdosing in Alabama, all in Alabama. And it's not just in Alabama. It's not just back in the backwoods areas, and that's what people like to think, and that's where it hit hard, and that's where the heroin epidemic hit the hardest. Heroin got real cheap about the time the war in Afghanistan started. Let's be effing real. The war in Afghanistan started. Afghanistan's the number one supplier of poppy, which makes heroin. We were just coming off of the finally, Big Pharma having to pull back from the OxyContin boom, where they made a fortune getting people addicted to opioids. We finally get the doctors to stop writing those scripts. Big Pharma pays. They stop making OxyContin. And what happens? We get the biggest push of heroin into this country you have ever seen. And people are dying left and right. That's the time I entered working into the rehab sphere. And then that got replaced while I was still in rehab. Fentanyl was making its way. And it replaced heroin and is the new drug. And it's in everything. And you hear these awful stories of kids ODing and dying. But that's not what this story is about. I'm just telling you that story so you know where I'm coming from. I have parents who never drink alcohol, have never done drugs, the most straight-edged parents you could ever see. I have family members dead from addiction that my older parents do not get, and I have to tell you, until I worked in rehab, I didn't get. We were always taught that my oldest brother was a fuck-up, and he was an addict. And he had issues. And my father, at one point, who is his father too, had him put in jail in the town because he knew he had drugs. And guess who happens to be a cousin? The chief of police in our town. So he said, just go arrest him. He'll have drugs and then put him in jail as long as you can. And so that's what happened. And he got sober while he was in jail and then got out and went right back. So that doesn't work. And what I wanted to talk about with this addiction is it hits, like, Rob Reiner was a multi-millionaire, film producer, director. God, it's so weird that we put more weight into celebrity death, but I'm sorry, everyone knows of his work. There's no one out there listening that doesn't know of his work, of the films that guy did. And politically, I didn't like him, but that doesn't change the fact that he was very brilliant at what he did, and he was a great director in acting, even back to the old Archie Bunker days when he was in All in the Family as Meathead. That guy did a lot. It was a big deal. And to be murdered in your sleep and have your throat slit by your own child who has beyond addiction issues, has been to rehab 18 times, but obviously has psychological issues. And that's what we need to address. What happened in my driveway today, me running from my work to get home to make sure my daughter's okay, because the police issue is a whole nother thing. But the drug addiction and the mental illness is probably the number one problem in Los Angeles. And I bet it's the number one problem in every city in America. It is a big deal. And I know this from working in rehab, that if you are on drugs and you have mental issues, the drug addiction will exasperate those mental issues tenfold. So you can have someone who's a little crazy, who is a lot crazy when they're on drugs or off drugs. The mood swings, especially if you're dealing with bipolar. Bipolar schizophrenia with drugs is really, really, really bad. And I don't know what that kid had. And I can tell you this from being in rehab for 6 years. If you take, if you have a tweaker, which is a meth head, methamphetamine, you can't come back. That does brain damage that can't be undone. The body is the most amazing thing in the world. It can come back. And this is how everybody dies. God, I have so much to say. I'm getting ahead of myself. But when you are off drugs and you're in rehab, you get sober. And it takes the body about 30 days to get back to normal. And this is why there's so many overdose deaths, in particular with opioids, besides the fentanyl. But you can be taken, let's just say you had a opioid where you were taking 30 pills a day because you were so addicted. All right. Typically, me or you, normal people, normies, or someone who's not an addict, you take one, and if you had like a surgery, you might take four in a day, and you would be out on your ass asleep most of the day, which is kind of the point of pain meds. And how to sleep it off, and the body heals. Well, during 30 days, you have that tolerance to where you're taking 30. If I took 30 pills right now, opioids, I would be dead. I would be dead. Click lights out, I would be gone, because like I said, one will get me effed up. So your tolerance goes from the 30 pills a day back down to one. Every addict, they get together in rehab and they have this big break. Now, I was doing 45 pills a day. Oh my God, that was a Sunday to me. I was doing 70 pills a day. And they have this braggadocious way. And it's one of the things I don't like about AA is that people get up there and like, they tell their story, but there's some people that really brag on upon the amount of drugs they did and how much crap they did. It was off-putting to me, but I'm a normie and I've been to a lot of AA meetings going with clients when I worked at rehab. And then after 30 days, when you get normal, well, they relapse and they're like, I'm going to go back off the wagon and get high again, which is going to happen if you have it in your family, if you have it in your own personal life. I am sorry to tell you that relapsing is part of it. It's part of the journey. And you're going to relapse and you're going to this kid went to rehab 18 times. That means he relapsed at least 18 times. You relapse and you relapse and get back, and hopefully one day you will hit rock bottom and you will decide to get clean. And don't get me wrong, if you haven't completely fried your effing brain on whatever you're doing, you may not be able to come back. It's really, really scary. And then the people that do relapse, they say, I'm going to take 30 pills like I used to back in the days. And then they immediately overdose and die because they're no longer a 30 pill a day person. They're a one pill a day person like you and I after being in rehab for 30 days. So a lot of people get out of rehab and then overdose and die. They're not trying to kill themselves. They're just trying to go back to doing what they were doing before they were in rehab. And their body is now back to normal. And voila, the human body is amazing at healing itself. And it can. Humans are not amazing at healing themselves. We are our own worst enemy, especially for an addict. And man, this is just, it's so sad. This story is so sad because, and people look at it and you're like, oh, that little rich kid and what a dick and da, da, da. To some degree, that's true. Here's something I can tell you that I have learned to appreciate over the years is I'm an idiot. I know that. I know I'm a dumbass, and I've done a lot of stupid shit, and I used to drink and get crazy and do wild stuff, and I dabbled drugs here and there, but I'm lucky. I don't think I have the addict gene, because I think I would have been an alcoholic, and it's just, it missed me, and then there's someone else.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You can't do that. And if they have it and they get addicted, they are in for a long, painful road. Now, where I was lucky, and this is going to sound weird, is that I was broke. Being broke helps to some degree. Now, you get the Skid Row drug addicts. There's just as much drugs going on in Skid Row as there is going on in Beverly Hills and Brentwood. But that addiction is really, really bad when you have expendable income. And that is where I worked in high-end rehabs in Malibu when I worked there. And I won't ever say where. Well, I can say one because it's out of business. I worked at Promises and that's out of business. It folded. And then I went to another one, which I won't say. And I'll never tell you who I worked with. I can just tell you who I didn't work with. And I worked with a lot of celebrity children. And here's the problem with celebrity children. The celebrity children that we got were really wealthy celebrities. And their kids, think about it. I'd give my kids anything I could right now. I'm blessed right now. My kids aren't, as my family would say, fuck-ups. But I would give them anything. And so would you. And so would everyone else. And you provide them. And then don't forget that addicts are professional liars. They lie and they lie and they lie and they manipulate to get what they want. And what they want is money or a reason to leave to go to so-and-so's house because over there they're going to get high. There's just always a lie going on and they get really effing good at it. And when you're really wealthy, it's painful because you have a lot of money going on. And money to someone who doesn't earn the money is really, really bad. Hold on, I gotta hit stop. There's a car alarm going outside and I gotta make sure it stopped. It's not my car. Alright. Yeah, now I gotta send a message. Also, I'm gonna excuse my phone going off. Because I have so much going on that people are gonna be texting me right now. So I'm gonna go ahead and excuse that. But the money is really bad. Really, really bad for addicts. And if you make your own money and you're really rich, that'll run you down the road to death and destruction or overdose. And if you you coddle them and you enable them in the families, and so many times I'd see the therapist in rehab tell them, stop, cut them off, the tough love, and that doesn't work always. And I've seen people, and I can tell you this, that this is how serious addiction is. When clients would be in rehab and they'd have to go to the regular doctor, we would have to go with them. I was one of the companions that would go with them. I would drive them, keep them safe, not let them stop, not let them meet anyone along the way. They can't go into a bathroom without me. And I sit in the doctor's office. Well, so imagine you're in there, just like when you visit your doctor and you talk about the things you talk about with your doctor. Well, I'm sitting in the chair right next to you. And I did that many times, very uncomfortable, but the best thing for them. And I had a woman, I'll never forget this. This is at the really high-end rehab I worked at. $125,000 a month. And this was a wealthy woman, was married. She had two little kids, beautiful lady, nice lady. And she was in a crack. And I sat in a doctor's office with her and heard the doctor, it was like it. They noticed when they got her in, the rehabs have doctors, but she had had an issue, so they sent her to a specialist, and she was doing all these appointments. And I was with her, and this doctor said, you have, destroyed your heart, and if you ever think of doing crack again, you're probably going to die. You're about to die. So I'm letting you know you can never do these drugs again. And she was crying, and she was upset, and you think about it, you did this to yourself. The guilt, she got these little babies at home, beautiful kids, beautiful family. And she had gotten so bad, the husband had already left her. She was fighting to keep any custody of her kids. And she had gone out before she'd gone to rehab and basically was blowing dudes for crack and stuff, turning tricks for crack. And she was just rich, beautiful lady. But she had no more money because the husband had cut her off and it was his money. And, so we went back and she's sobbing all the way and I can't believe this and da 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 da. And she still had her kids and she just wanted to see her kids and da da da. Do you know what happened? That night she ran away from rehab and went back into relapse. We never heard from her again. I doubt seriously she's alive at this point. But I know she had relapsed that night. That night she ran away. That night. Run away. You say, I'm leaving, you're an adult. It's a weird issue with adults. You cannot force an adult into rehab. And a lot of people go to rehab because their family's bitching about it, or they get a court case, or DUI, or get caught with drugs, or whatever it is, and they end up going to court, and the lawyer always tell you, hey, man, go to rehab before the court date. When we get to court, you say, look, I've already done 30 days in rehab. I had a problem, but I've addressed it and I'm working on it. I'm going to AA classes, blah, blah, blah. And the judge will always go light on you. Always, always go light on you. So what happens? Really rich families don't want their loved ones to go to prison, so they always pay and send them to rehab. And sometimes they got to stay. The judge will say, I want you to go back for 2 more months or whatever. And they would do it, but you and I couldn't afford to do that. Not at a really nice rehab like I was staying at, where we had masseuses and chefs and crap. And I've seen a lot of people, they'll throw their lives away for the drugs. They will throw away their actual life for the drugs. It is horrible. I feel for them. I learned compassion for addicts that I never, never had. I was like, you idiot, you did that to yourself. That was my attitude along the times of all the crap that was going on with my brother. And then when I got into rehab, I learned we were a bad family. That is an addiction is a disease that people get. And I know people don't buy it. And they're like, it's bullshit and blah, blah, blah. And it's the truth. And I feel so bad for the Reiner family. But that kid, and this is where I'm going to, if you're in addiction or you know someone in addiction, I'm being so completely transparent and honest with you right now. And I can tell you this, it doesn't work. It doesn't work most of the time. It's really hard work for it to work. And if you've got a kid that you're sick of because they're acting up like this Reiner kid and you keep sending them back because you've got the money and you keep hoping, all right, maybe this time it'll take, maybe this time it'll take. Why is it not working? It's because they don't want it to work. It's all on you. Your sobriety is you. Now, granted, you need to get away from all your druggy friends. You need to get away from all of the bad everything. But you just cannot expect it. Like, hey, I'm sending them to rehab and we're going to be good. God bless you. I've seen it. I've seen that happen. I have seen that happen. But that's the rarity, not the norm. And they don't tell you that in rehab because they want your money. They don't. It is a business that is sleazy. There's people in there that are the most wonderful people. Most of the people in there are former addicts themselves and part of giving back and coming correct with God or their family or whatever. They go in there and they work, and there's great people that work at rehab. But it's a business, and there's scummy people. And you know who are scumbags? Most addicts are scumbags. And there's people in there that are working there that still relapse. There's people in there that are just trying to make a buck, and they extend, oh, no, we got to keep them another 30 days. We got to keep them another 30 days. And then at one point, the rehab, if you've caught a legal case, they got you by the balls. Oh, yeah, no, they need at least another 30 days. Well, guess what? If the rehab says you need another 30 days and you say no and you got to answer to a judge in an update here in a month or two, your ass is staying in rehab. Like, it's shady like that. And the only person that can make it better is you. I have a dear friend who has addiction in their family. They have someone addicted and they're an adult, and they ended up getting the guardianship over an adult. And now they're responsible for that person and they have to watch them and take care of them. That person stayed sober and it's worked out, and that can work. But how long do you want to do that? Because that's a lifetime commitment. It's literally like having a seriously disabled child. You don't just, all right, you're an adult, you're on your own now. These people can't ever be on their own. They can't be trusted on their own. If they get on their own, they're going to relapse into something. So you got to be watched. They got to be kept. And that happens a lot. And that's happening to a very dear friend of mine right now who has a family member that they are the guardian of, and they are in charge of them, and they're keeping them sober. But what's weird, if you're a kid, and I dealt with this, if they're under 18, your parents could call and say, hey, come get this kid. They're an addict. And I could physically take you and drag you to rehab because you're not in charge of yourself under 18. Now, over 18, that's called kidnapping, which is weird because those are the ones that really need it the most. So we're in a situation, you can't lock these people up. They're adults. We could lock them up, but it's going to be in prison because they broke the law. But most likely, the jails are overcrowded. We don't have the funding for it. We don't have the mental health facilities. So we just kick them back out or kick them to rehab. Oh, that's great. They're going to get treatment. Well, treatment doesn't work. Treatment only works when you really work hard at it and you really want it to work. And if you've beat addiction, and I know I've heard from people because that know my situation that I've talked about, and God bless you, I love you, and I am pulling for you. I don't want to be a doggy downer here. I just want to be really honest to everyone because I don't know a family. I don't know a family anywhere that isn't affected by addiction. Not one. Every friend I have, everyone has the drunk uncle, the drug addict cousin, my brother's this, my that, everyone. I don't know anyone. That's the epidemic we're dealing with in this country. And then these little rich, dicky ones that have been to rehab 18 times and are spoiled little brats lash out, and they're some of the worst. I'm telling you, being broke helped me never become an addict. I couldn't afford it. I mean, granted, I could have went and stole and done that, and people do that and they go to jail. But a lot of people, that'll keep kids, well, you're like, well, I also have to work and I have to do this and I don't want to be homeless, so I got to work and I have a job, and then I just can't do this stuff. It's not conducive to me surviving. And that's what a normal person can do. An addict can't do that. And then they'll go down the road of crime. But if their family has money, they will manipulate the F out of family members. They will lie, cheat, steal, and probably still steal from you. So you give them the money. All right, I'm gonna give you an allowance of this much money. They're gonna go get high. And then they're gonna steal from you anyways and sell all your shit. It's a nightmare. What the Reiner family's been dealing with, this kid's 32 years old. They've been dealing with this for probably 20 years, 20 plus years. And they're not alone. This isn't a wow, this is a weird story. There's a light shined on it because it's a celebrity. This is a lot of families in America, really rich families in Brentwood and really poor families like mine back in Alabama. It's a bad deal. I'm sorry if this podcast is bumming anyone out. I really want to be informative. I have a lot of knowledge and I have a ton of experience in this field. And when I heard that story and I heard it was the addict's son, I felt for them because I know how awful that is. And I know how much you love your family members, just like I love mine. And you'll do anything to save them. You'll do anything, and people will go broke and lose their houses trying to put their kids through rehab. And the kids don't want to go to rehab. They just go to shut you up. And then as soon as they get out, they'll relapse. And so many people die. I tell you right now, I am a security guard because I couldn't handle working in rehab anymore. It was depressing. There would get people in there, and I'm literally, like I said, I would sit in doctor's office with you. I would take you to the store. I would sit and talk with you at night when you couldn't sleep for hours as I was working. I developed really good relationships with some of those clients, like a bond, who then went home and died. And it bummed me out, and I don't like death, and I couldn't deal with it. It was too much. And the people that are there fighting the fight every day and are, and man, is it awesome when you get a victory. Man, is it awesome when you get a win, when somebody beats it and they get their family back and they get their life back. It's wonderful. And that does happen. But boy, do you have to really, really want it. Oh, man, it's crazy. Now my wife's blowing me up. Everyone's calling. I got to call my wife and see what's going on. All right, but that's all I got. I'm going to get out of here for today. I'm sorry to be such a bummer. I hope you guys, if you have this in your family, man, I pray for you. God bless you. Keep up the good fight, but it's not your fault if it goes bad. It is not your fault if it goes bad. It is the addict's person. That's the only person that can get them sober. They can get all the tools in the world and not be sober until they want to, or until something happens that tells them, I need to be sober. So it's a terrible story. That story really bothered me, but it so needs to be talked about. And I think so many, we look at it from afar and like, oh, wow, look at that. Oh, that spoiled little kid. That's more common than you think. So here we are in the holidays talking about this awful stuff. But then I get home and I had to leave my work today to come home to deal with somebody's drug addict child in my driveway shooting drugs and terrorizing my daughter and my neighborhood. So it's nuts. It is nuts, man. we got to do something as a society about this issue, because the rest of us can't be victimized. We can't all be Rob Reiner and get stabbed to death in our sleep with these addicts. Something there has to, and I'm sitting here as a person with experience in the field, and I can't tell you what the answer is, but I can tell you we need to do something. So if you're dealing with it, like I said, God bless you guys. Have a good weekend. We're going into Christmas week next week. I promise on Monday I'll be back with a more lighthearted show, and we will start to get our Christmas vibe on. But till then, just keep your heads up. And you can always reach out to me on the Instagram at fat2fit or else. That's the Instagram handle. And if you have any issues, and I'm confidential, I will talk to you. I'll help you. I'll point you any way that I could help, because I have a soft spot in my heart for this topic. So have a good weekend. I will talk to you later.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.